offering our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, this is Prem from Team Radio Sai, welcoming you to this week's episode of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. As always, I have the company of Brother Sai Prakash to co-host this show. But as Bishu told you, that we also have a special guest with us to join us in this rumination of Swami's discourses of the 1990 Samukho series. So it is with great pleasure I invite Brother Vyomesh. He's been a student of Swami's university and school. He graduated in the year 98. Currently, he spends most of his time in Prashantinilayam, and we are absolutely sure that he'll add a lot of value to this program, because he does take Swami's message quite seriously, and I've had extended discussions with him, and that's one of the main reasons I've invited him for this program. So on behalf of all of you, I extend a very warm welcome to him. Sairam Vyomesh.
Sairam Prem.
So we are in the 13th discourse in the series, very intriguingly titled, What is Freedom? And I think we've maybe crossed the midway of the discourse, but right. I'm not sure any of us here can answer what is freedom. But nevertheless, it's been so exciting, this discourse, just like every other discourse in this whole series. And I think we're raring to go and see what Swami has to tell. But before that, maybe Sai Prakash, we would like to go through some of the points which Swami has made.
We don't know what is freedom, but we know that it cannot be enjoyed. Because very clearly Swami says, anybody who is a part of the creation cannot have freedom. So, he means, in the sense, as long as you are bound by the idea that you are a part of this creation, rather than the fact to say that you are the creator, if you want to put it that way. Because Swami is exactly trying to tell that all through the discourse. That as long as you are still identifying yourself with the body and mind, you cannot enjoy complete freedom. In fact, we have summarized the initial part of the discourse a couple of times, but when you go to what Swami spoke last time, it was very subtle, in the sense, he said, you have money with you, mm-hmm. and you think you have the freedom to give it to somebody, but that is not freedom, because you are under the influence of the sattvic guna. So, he says, you are under the influence of the gunas. You are not free from the gunas. So, because of sattvic guna, that is influencing you to give. So, a rajasic guna may influence you to get angry with somebody. A tamasic guna may influence you to be jealous of somebody. Or any of these qualities. So, he says, still you are bound. I mean, it's very, very subtle. So, here very clearly he says, you are not bound by the gunas. You, in your original state, are not limited by the gunas.
Yeah, and it's very intriguing that Swami has used the term freedom mm-hmm. to catch the attention of all the youth. Because currently, the youth are totally being exposed to ideas of abundance, richness.
Correct.
You know, and they in the search and the pursuit of freedom, set out where they start living a life mm-hmm. chasing an illusion, a mirage, which actually gives them a false notion of freedom. But the moment they reach there, they realize that the freedom is eluding them. And that's exactly as Brother Sai Prakash cited Swami's example of even charity.
Correct.
If you're inspired by a noble ideal, which makes you feel that you have the freedom, is still eluding you. So what is this freedom?
You know? No, but what you pointed out is very interesting, because there is a thin line between what the youngsters today are trying to get.
Yeah.
You know, are they behind freedom or are they behind happiness? See, they think that they are happy by going out at night and, you know, breaking all rules and, you know, speeding off at high speeds at night and, you know, I have the freedom and I am very happy doing it. But as you said, over age they realize that is not what it is. And more importantly, what Swami has drawn attention to several times, he says this age group of adolescents, he says, is very, very important. And I remember very clearly when Swami mentioned that it is like a tender plantain leaf. And he says, in a tender plantain leaf, you have items, food items, freshly served. And that is like when somebody is in his prime of youth.
Absolutely.
And at that time, if you offer it to God, He will take care of your entire life. But then you offer it to different things. So here, in a sense, you are offering your life to your gunas. You are offering your life to your what the senses want. And by the time you realize your body is weak and you are old.
Yes.
And that is when you say, God, now you accept me. And Swami very nicely said, then God will think twice.
Just talking about freedom and putting it in context with what Swami said in the earlier discourse.
Mm.
A lot of discourses were given in this series emphasizing on controlling of the mind and controlling of the senses.
Correct.
And if you look at it, an analogy which Swami would give, I'll go into it in detail after I mention it. Swami says of driving a car. You know, Swami would say, when would you be trusted with a car? When you have learned how to drive it.
Mm-hmm.
When you know how to drive it, then people will allow you to take a car outside on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami would often say that controlling the senses is like knowing how to drive a car.
Mm-hmm.
When you know how to drive a car, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean the car is in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
It means you know to take it in the road where it's crowded and you know to drive it safely.
Correct.
So Swami would say, similarly, controlling one's senses does not mean shutting out of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Does not mean closing your eyes or closing your ears to the sound outside. But being in it and you having the choice of what to hear, what not to hear, what mm-hmm. to do, what not to do. So Swami would say, controlling senses is like having the ability to control a car. You know how fast to go, you know how slow to go. You know to turn left when you want to turn left. You know, in that context, coming to freedom, you know, there Swami said, yeah, if you know to control all these, you are given the freedom.
Mm.
But in this discourse, Swami says, you are given a freedom, but still there are some regulations.
Mm.
So you are not free.
Yeah, not the question of regulations. He says, you are under the influence of. Like, you are under the influence, you are not free from your gunas. You are not free from your desires. So the next point he says is, anything that anybody does for the sake of personal benefit, it signifies that he has desire for that thing. So you are bound by your desires, you're bound by your gunas. So obviously you're not free from them. You're under them. You're under their influence. And this is really a very amazing point because it's so subtle. And Swami would say in many of his discourses, he says, Swecha, freedom. And he say, you have, but what kind of freedom you should experience? He says, people want to experience animal freedom. And then Swami redefines Swecha as Swa-Icha. That is the desire of the Atman. And Atman is desireless. So what desire can Atman have? The only thing that you can happen is you identify yourself with the Atman. And at that point, there is nothing else. You are really not under the influence of anything. So that's what it is.
And then of course Swami goes on into a lengthy part where he speaks about the spiritual heart, the true heart.
Correct.
And how it is different from the physical heart. And Swami goes on to say how all decisions are made in the heart. I mean, I even as I go through this point, I'm reminded of a Science Pies message which we sent out just a couple of days back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Swami makes a very beautiful point, the difference between pravritti and nivritti.
Mm-hmm.
Where Swami says, pravritti is how a thing is supposed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
The technicalities of it, the physical ground details of it. But mm-hmm. nivritti is with what feeling you have to do it.
Okay.
And then Swami says that feeling comes from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami says that heart is actually Ayodhya.
Mm-hmm.
Because he says when you say Ayodhya, it means Ayodhya.
Mm-hmm.
Where there is no conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami goes on to say all conflict, all confusion, all differences is only in the head. The heart, there are no differences. The heart will always give you the right one option which is available.
That's why Atma Rama,
right, Swami says. Exactly, Swami says that is why the heart is called Ayodhya and the one who rules over Ayodhya is called Atma Rama, and that is called Rama Rajyam.
Correct. I think as you mentioned earlier, there is this whole spiritual connotation to entire Ramayana,
where
everything has an inner significance and, you know, it's all connected. Maybe we should take it up sometime later. But coming back to this freedom, there was another point which Swami made towards the end of the clip which we played last time.
Mm-hmm.
He said, everything is a manifestation of what is inside you already. He says, if you are able to do anything, you are able to achieve anything, it is because that thing is already inside you. Mm-hmm. And how true it is, because when we go and speak to some of the realized souls and, even saints and holy men, they have not spent hours sitting and reading the scriptures or Upanishads, but they freely quote from it. Neither have they spent years reading all the encyclopedias, but they know it on the tip of their fingers. And I mentioned this before in the series, but I don't mind repeating it. When we had gone to Badrinath, we went and met one young sannyasi called Mauni Baba.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was giving talks, and I asked him this question. I asked him, how much time do you spend in reading?
Mm-hmm.
Have you read the Bhagavad Gita? Have you read the Upanishads? Have you read? How do you get this wisdom from? Where do you get? And in fact, he's called Mauni Baba because he has just kept the vrat of silence. He has kept silence for more than about 12 to 15 years. And his guru is Mahatwar Babaji, and he has come to Puttaparthi. He has had darshan of Swami. Mm-hmm. Swami has blessed him and all that. But I asked him this question. How do you know? I mean, have you spent time reading? And he says, no. He says, when you reach a particular state, the knowledge of the entire creation just opens up to you. And he says, when you are in that state, the entire knowledge opens up to you, and you can, like, accessing a hard disk. Hard disk accesses data. And if you are a 7200 RPM hard disk, you can access it faster than a 5400 RPM hard disk. So he says, we just get access to the entire... So the more and more we are driven to the idea that there are different bodies in one collective mind.
Right. even as Swami was making that point last time, I was reminded, I think it was the year 1972 or 73, mm-hmm. that was the first summer course. And interestingly, Swami said the first summer course should be held on the Vedas and Upanishads.
Okay.
Swami said, if you want to talk about Indian culture seriously, you have to talk about the Vedas and Upanishads.
Mm-hmm.
And the first few discourses of that series, Swami started quoting from the various bhashyams which were written by Indian philosophers, Indian commentators, then went on to speak about what Max Muller has to say, Keith has to say,
mm-hmm.
and a few other Western philosophers whom you've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami is quoting from their works.
Mm-hmm.
And after that discourse, Dr. Bhagwantam, who was translating it,
mm-hmm.
you know, he, it seems, went up to Swami and he said, Swami...
Was it Dr. Bhagwantam?
I'm sorry, I think it was
Dr. Gokak,
who was the Vice-Chancellor of the Bangalore University then,
mm-hmm.
who later became the Vice-Chancellor of Swami's University,
mm-hmm.
the first Vice-Chancellor. He went up to Swami and he said, Swami... we have never seen you reading books. When did you read all this? Because typically, I'm sure they would have spent a good part of the day with Swami. He said, Swami, when did you read all this?
Mm.
And Swami's reply was, I don't have the bad habit of reading books.
At least in one aspect, I'm similar to Swami. I don't read books as well.
And Swami said, I don't have the bad habit of reading books.
Mm.
And then Swami went on to explain.
Mm.
And Swami said, the human mind, Swami did not say the divine mind. Swami said, the human mind
mm-hmm.
and the human brain has different knowledge points.
Okay.
And if you have the ability to silence your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and tap that particular knowledge point, mm-hmm. you can get all knowledge pertaining to that field.
Wow.
And typically what Swami was telling here, he said every aspect of learning, every field of knowledge is actually accessible to every human being.
Mm. Correct. And so basically it comes back to the fact that he says everything is within you.
Right.
And when you are in constant identification with your true self, everything that is inside you gets reflected or is just expressed when it has to be. Like Nisargadatta Maharaj always says, that person is asking him, what is the difference? You are sitting in front of me, I am talking to you. I am talking to you and you are talking to me. What is the difference? He says, the difference is you think you are talking. For me, talking happens. I perceive talking happening and I perceive that answering is happening. So I think then you open up to the entire knowledge base that's available in the creation. So I think we should go to the first clip for today.
Okay.
And see what Swami has to say.
ఈ మానసిక వృత్తులను అరికట్టుకోవటమే సాధన.
కంట్రోలింగ్ ది టెండెన్సీస్ ఆఫ్ ది మైండ్ ఈజ్ ది సాధన. సర్వము నీ అంటే ఉంటున్నది, యు ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ విత్ ఇన్ యూ. దానినే కృష్ణుడు అర్జునుడికి ఉపదేశం చేసింది. దిస్ ఇస్ వాట్ కృష్ణ టాట్ అర్జున. అర్జున, నీవు పుట్టినప్పుడు విలు విద్య తెలియదు నీకు. అర్జున, వెన్ యు ఆర్ బోర్న్ డిడ్ యు నో ఆర్చరీ?
పుట్టినప్పుడే ఈ విద్యలంతా కూడా నేర్చుకున్నారా? లేదు.
వెన్ యు ఆర్ బోర్న్ డిడ్ యు లెర్న్ ఆల్ దీస్?
క్రమక్రమేణా ఏదో గొప్ప విద్యను నేర్చుకున్నామని మీరు భావిస్తున్నారు.
ఆల్ దీస్ స్కిల్స్ అండ్ ఎడ్యుకేషన్ యు లెర్న్డ్ గ్రాడ్యువలీ ఓవర్ ఎ పీరియడ్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్.
ఇవి నేర్చుకున్నవి కాదు.
దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ నాట్ లెర్న్డ్.
మీ ఎందున్నటువంటివే మీకు ఆవిర్భవింప చేసింది.
The only thing is, all those things which are already there within you have manifested themselves
Arjuna,
for you.
Dronacharyudu emto neeku viruvidya nerpinadani neevu bhavistunnavu.
Arjuna, you consider Dronacharya has taught you archery.
Dronacharya neeku vidyalu nerpaledu.
Dronacharya has not taught you any education.
Nee endu undinatuvanti daline thanu bike teppi choopinchadu.
All that Dronacharya did was to bring it out of you.
Neelo enatuvanti vaatini ఏ గురువు అయినా సరే, ఏ మహత్తరమైన శక్తి గల వాడైనా సరే, దాన్ని తిరిగి లేని దాన్ని తెప్పించడానికి వీలు కాదు.
నో మాస్టర్, నో పవర్ఫుల్ మ్యాన్ వుడ్ బి ఏబుల్ టు బ్రింగ్ అవుట్ ఎనీథింగ్ విచ్ యూ డు నాట్ హావ్ విత్ యు.
దురదృష్టం కాని,
వెదర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ బై ఐ మీన్
ఆనందము కాని దుఃఖము కాని,
వెదర్ ఇట్ ఈస్ జాయ్ ఆర్ సారో,
ఇవన్నీ కూడాను మన యందు ఉన్నటువంటివి.
ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దెమ్ డూ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ విత్ ఇన్ అస్.
ఇప్పుడు ఒక భావితో వినాం.
We have dug a well.
ఈ భావిత్రవ్వేటప్పటికి ఏదో ఒక 100 అడుగులు పోయేటప్పటికి నీరు వచ్చాయి.
ఆఫ్టర్ గోయింగ్ 100 feet డీప్ యు గాట్ వాటర్.
ఆ నీరు నువ్వు తెప్పించావా?
హ్యావ్ యూ బ్రాట్ అవుట్ దట్ వాటర్?
నీరు అక్కడ ఉన్నదే ఉన్నది.
వాటర్ వాజ్ ఆల్రెడీ దేర్.
దానికి దీనికి మధ్య, నీకు మధ్య ఉన్నటువంటి మట్టిని తీసేయటం వల్ల నీరు కనిపించింది.
ఆల్ దట్ యువర్ డన్ ఈస్ యువర్ రిమూవ్డ్ ది మట్ which was between water and you.
Ante gaani neevu nee kottaga aa neetini srushtinchaledu.
You have not created water there.
Ade vidhamgane Arjuna, neelo unnatvanti yokka divya shaktini neevu marchinavu.
Arjuna, you have forgotten the divine power which is in you.
Neevu marchadaniki kaaranam emti?
What is the reason why you have forgotten?
Deha tadatmanu pondinappudu valane ee yokka divyamainatvanti bhavani neevu marchipoyinavu.
Because you have identified yourself with the physical body, you have forgotten your divine power.
కనుక ప్రతి ఒక్కటి కూడాను దివ్యత్వం కాని, పవిత్రం కాని, అపవిత్రం కాని, దుఃఖం కాని, ఆనందం కాని, ఇవన్నీ కూడాను మనలో ఉండినటువంటివి.
Whether it is divinity, sacredness, unsacredness, sorrow or joy, all of them are within us.
దీనిని నేను స్వాతంత్రం అని అనుకుంటే ఇది నీకు స్వాతంత్రం కాదు, ఉన్నదే అది.
If you say that you have got this on account of your freedom,
ఈ స్వేచ్ఛ అనుకుంటే ఇది స్వేచ్ఛ కాదు, నీ యొక్క ఇది కర్తృత్వం.
ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఫ్రీ విల్, ఇట్ ఈస్ యువర్ ఓన్ కెపాసిటీ టు డూ.
కనుక ఫ్రీ విల్ అనేటువంటి దాన్ని చెప్పడం లోపల ఇది అర్థమే లేదు.
వెన్ యూ సే యూ హ్యావ్ ఫ్రీ విల్, దెర్ ఇస్ నో మీనింగ్.
ఇది ఫ్రీ విల్ అనేటువంటిది ఒక్కటే, అదే హృదయ స్థాయి.
దెర్ ఇస్ ఓన్లీ వన్ ఫ్రీ విల్, and that is the state of heart.
అది ఎప్పటికీ ఉన్నది.
It is always there.
ఒక్కతూరి వచ్చి ఒక్కతూరి పోయేటువంటిది కాదు.
This is not something which comes once and goes away at another time.
కన మనోభావం ఉండినంత వరకు కూడాను మానవులకు ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క భిన్న భావములు అభివృద్ధి పొందుతుంటాయి.
As long as man has got this mental feelings, he will be having all this kind of experiences.
కనుక మనస్సు యొక్క స్వాతంత్రములే కాని ఇవన్నీ మనిషి యొక్క స్వాతంత్రములు కాదు.
దేర్ఫోర్ యూ విల్ హ్యావ్ టు జస్ట్ గెట్ ది ఫ్రీడమ్ ఆఫ్ ది హార్ట్ అండ్ నాట్ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ మైండ్.
సంపత్ చెప్పాడు.
సంపత్ సెట్,
ఒక స్టూడెంట్ తాను ఏదో ఒక విధంగా కూర్చొని క్వశ్చన్ వేయటము లేకపోతే ఆన్సర్ తెప్పించుకోవటము అతనికి స్వాతంత్రం ఉన్నది అని.
దట్ ఎ స్టూడెంట్ సిట్టింగ్ ఇన్ ఎ పర్టికులర్ ఫిజికల్ పోస్చర్ అండ్ పుట్టింగ్ ఎ క్వశ్చన్ అండ్ గెటింగ్ ఆన్సర్ he has that right.
ఈ స్వాతంత్రం అని చెప్పడానికి అక్కడ వీలు కాదు.
ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ రియల్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
తెలియనటువంటి విషయాన్ని తెలుసుకోవడానికి ప్రయత్నించాడు.
He has tried to know what he did not.
ఈ ప్రయత్నించేటువంటి విధానంలో కూడాను తాను అడిగేటువంటి యొక్క పద్ధతులను కూడాను కొంతవరకు మార్చుకోవాలి.
He has to make some changes in the way that he puts the question.
వినయ విధేయతను పురస్కరించుకుని
ఇన్ ట్యూన్ విత్ హ్యూమిలిటీ అండ్ ఒబీడియన్స్, తాను సరి అయినటువంటి స్థితిగతులను పురస్కరించుకుని, అండ్ హీ షుడ్ బి ఇన్ ఎ ప్రాపర్ పోస్చర్. ప్రశ్నించటంలో కూడా ఒక నిబంధన ఉంటుండాలి. హీ హ్యాస్ టు పుట్ క్వశ్చన్, దిస్ ఈజ్ ది ప్రాపర్ రూల్. ప్రశ్న అడగటము, దానికి జవాబు తీసుకోవటము, ఇది స్వాతంత్రం అనుకుంటున్నాం. ఇది స్వాతంత్రం కాదు. పుట్టింగ్ ఎ క్వశ్చన్ అండ్ గెటింగ్ ఎ రిప్లై ఈజ్ నో విద్యా విధానంలో ఉండేటువంటి నిబంధన. దిస్ ఈజ్ ది రూల్స్ అండ్ రెగ్యులేషన్స్.
నీ కర్తవ్యం అది,
ఇట్ ఈస్ యువర్ డ్యూటీ.
కర్తవ్యమునకు స్వాతంత్రమునకు వ్యత్యాసం ఉంటుండాలి.
దేర్ ఇస్ ఎ డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ వన్స్ డ్యూటీ.
దీనికి మూడు రకములు ఏర్పడేది ఉంటుండాలి.
దేర్ ఆర్ త్రీ టైప్స్.
ఒక్కటి స్వాతంత్రం అని ఉంటుండాలి.
వన్ ఈస్ స్వాతంత్రం, ఫ్రీడమ్.
దీనిని ఒకటి నిబంధన,
వన్ ఈస్
రెండోటి కర్తవ్యము,
అనదర్ ఈస్ డ్యూటీ,
ఒకటి స్వాతంత్రం అన్నాం.
థర్డ్ వన్ ఇస్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
అయితే ఈ మూడింటికి ఉండినటువంటి వ్యత్యాసం ఏమిటి?
వాట్ ఈస్ ది డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ దీస్ త్రీ థింగ్స్?
ఇప్పుడు ఒక సండే వచ్చింది.
లెట్ అస్ సే దట్ దేర్ వాజ్ అ సండే.
నా ఫ్రెండ్స్ అందరినీ పిలిచి నేను ఈనాడు టీ పార్టీ పెట్టాలా అనుకున్నావు.
యూ వాంటెడ్ టు జస్ట్ అరేంజ్ ఫార్ ఎ టీ పార్టీ.
ఆనాడు 4 గంటలకి అన్ని ఏర్పాట్లు చేస్తున్నావు.
యూ హవ్ మేడ్ ఆల్ అరేంజ్మెంట్స్ ఫర్ ద సేమ్.
హై టెంపరేచర్ వచ్చింది.
యూ గాట్ వెరీ హై టెంపరేచర్ ఆన్ దట్ డే.
అప్పుడు తక్షణమే ఈ ఫ్రెండ్స్ కంతా ఫోన్ చేస్తావు.
దెన్ యూ ఫోర్స్ యువర్ ఫ్రెండ్స్.
నాకు టెంపరేచర్ చాలా అధికంగా ఉంటుండాలి, ఈనాడు టీ పార్టీ నేను మానుకుంటున్నానన్నాడు.
ఐఎమ్ హ్యావింగ్ హై టెంపరేచర్, ఐ క్యాన్సల్ టుడేస్ టీ పార్టీ.
ఇది స్వాతంత్రము.
దిస్ ఈజ్
అనుకుంటున్నాం.
యూ
ఇష్టమైతే పెట్టుకోవచ్చు, ఇష్టం లేకపోతే మానుకోవచ్చు.
You consider this as a freedom because you can have it if you like, you can cancel it if you so like.
నీవు ఆఫీస్ లో ఉంటున్నావు.
యు ఆర్ వర్కింగ్ ఇన్ ఎన్ ఆఫీస్.
అక్కడ కూడా అధికంగా టెంపరేచర్ వచ్చింది.
యూ డెవలప్ హై టెంపరేచర్ వెన్ యూ ఆర్.
అదే నాడే మీ డైరెక్టర్ నీ ఆఫీసును విజిట్ చేస్తున్నాడు.
ఆన్ ద సేమ్ డే యువర్ డైరెక్టర్ వాజ్ షెడ్యూల్డ్ టు విజిట్ యువర్ ఆఫీస్.
నీవప్పుడు లీవ్ తీసుకోవటానికి వీలు కాదు.
You don't have, it is not possible for you to apply.
ఏదో కొన్ని మాత్రలైనా వేసుకుని డాక్టర్ దగ్గరికైనా పోయి కొన్ని ఇంజెక్షన్స్ అయినా తీసుకుని ఆ జ్వరంతోనే నీవు ఆఫీసు పోయే తీరాలి.
యూ అప్రోచ్ ఎ డాక్టర్, టేక్ సమ్ మెడిసిన్ అండ్ విత్ ఫీవర్ కంటిన్యూయింగ్ యూ గో టు ది ఆఫీస్.
ఇది నిర్బంధం.
దిస్ ఈజ్ రెస్ట్రిక్షన్.
మొదటిది సంబంధం.
ద ఫస్ట్ వన్ ఈజ్ సంబంధం, రిలేషన్షిప్.
మూడవది కర్తవ్యం.
ద థర్డ్ వన్ ఈజ్
నిర్బంధం, సంబంధం, కర్తవ్యం. ఈ మూడింటి యొక్క వ్యత్యాసాన్ని మనం చక్కగా గుర్తించాలి.
వీ హ్యావ్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ ది రిలేషన్షిప్ బిట్వీన్ ద రెస్ట్రిక్షన్, ద టైప్ ఆఫ్ రిలేషన్షిప్ అండ్ ద టైప్ ఆఫ్ కంపల్షన్ విచ్.
ఏదో కొన్ని కారణాల వల్ల ఇంటిలో భార్యాభర్తలు కొంత పోట్లాడుకున్నారు.
అన్ అకౌంట్ ఆఫ్ సమ్ ఇన్సిడెంట్స్ దెర్ ఈస్ ఎ ఫైట్ బిట్వీన్ హస్బెండ్ అండ్ వైఫ్ ఇన్ ద అట్ హోమ్.
ఈ కోపం చేత భర్త ఆమెను 2 కొట్టాడు.
బీయింగ్ ఎన్రీ ఈ హస్బెండ్ హిట్ వైఫ్.
ఆమె ఏడ్చుకుంటూ బెడ్రూమ్ పోయి పండుకుంది, వంట చేయలేదు.
షీ డిడ్ నాట్ కుక్ ఫుడ్ దట్ డే. షీ వెంట్ టు ద బెడ్రూమ్ అండ్ షీ వాజ్ క్రైయింగ్.
పురుషుడు డ్రాయింగ్ రూమ్ లో కూర్చున్నాడు.
ది మ్యాన్ ఆఫ్ ద హౌస్ హీ వాజ్ ఇన్ ద డ్రాయింగ్ రూమ్.
చాలా కోపంగా ఉన్నాడు.
He was in a highly enraged mood.
విషయముతో వచ్చినటువంటి కోపం ఒకటి, ఆకలి చేత వచ్చినటువంటి కోపం మరొకటి. ఈ రెండూ చేరి తాను చాలా రెస్ట్లెస్ గా ఉంటున్నాడు. ఆ సమయానికి తగినట్టు ఒక ఫ్రెండ్ వచ్చాడు.
జస్ట్ అట్ దట్ మూమెంట్ ఎ ఫ్రెండ్ అరైవ్డ్.
ఫ్రెండ్ వచ్చేటప్పటికి నవ్వుతూ నవ్వుతూ హలో 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 కమాన్ కమాన్ అన్నాడు.
ద మూమెంట్ ఫ్రెండ్ ఎంటర్డ్ విత్ ఎ స్మైల్ హీ వెల్కమ్డ్ హిమ్. హలో హలో
కూర్చోమని చెప్పాడు.
హీ ఆస్క్డ్ హిమ్ టు టేక్ హిస్ సీట్.
కానీ ఫ్రెండ్ దగ్గర హలో 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 కమాన్ అని చెప్పిన చాలా నవ్వుతూ చాలా హాస్యంగా తాను ఉత్సాహంగా మాట్లాడుతూ అతనితో కాలం గడిపి లోపల పోయాడు. నా ఫ్రెండ్ వచ్చాడు, కాఫీ చేయి అన్నాడు కోపంగా.
హీ రిసీవ్డ్ ది ఫ్రెండ్ విత్ ఎంథూజియాజం అండ్ చీర్ఫుల్నెస్, ఆస్క్డ్ హిమ్ టు బి సీటెడ్, వెంట్ ఇన్ టు ది ఇన్సైడ్ రూమ్ అండ్ ఆస్క్డ్ హర్ విత్ యాంగర్, నౌ ప్రిపేర్ కాఫీ.
భార్యతో కోపంగా ఉన్నాడు, ఫ్రెండ్తో ఆనందంగా ఉన్నాడు.
He was angry with the wife.
ఫ్రెండ్తో ఆనందంగా ఉన్నది భార్యకు తెలియకూడదు. భార్యతో కోపంగా ఉన్నది ఫ్రెండ్కు తెలియకూడదు.
హిస్ ఫ్రెండ్ షుడ్ నాట్ నో దట్ హీ వాజ్ యాంగ్రీ విత్ ద వైఫ్. హిస్ వైఫ్ షుడ్ నాట్ నో హీ వాజ్ ఫ్రెండ్లీ విత్ ది ఫ్రెండ్.
ఇది కర్తవ్యం.
దిస్ ఈజ్ ది డ్యూటీ.
సో దట్ వాజ్ ఎ క్లిప్ అండ్ ఐ థింక్ దేర్ వర్ డిస్టింక్ట్లీ టూ పార్ట్స్ ఇన్ దట్ క్లిప్. ద ఫస్ట్ వన్ వాజ్ వేర్ స్వామి కంటిన్యూడ్ విత్ దట్ idea that everything that is to be known is actually within you.
Correct.
And Swami gave the example of the dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna.
You know, as Swami is speaking, so amazing, it feels so authentic, you know. Swami is telling Krishna to Arjuna, look here. And when Swami speaks in first person, it was so amazing. I was just struck by that. So authentic, just as Swami would have told Arjuna at that point in time. But again, the same message that...
And that's what Swami would often say even when he uses that word educare. You say that true knowledge is that which brings it from within, whatever the knowledge is. And also that, I think, famous one-liner joke which is said that I was born a genius.
Okay.
Education spoiled me.
Oh, okay. But, you know, one more thing which comes to my mind is when we are talking to Swami and when we have, you know, when we had the opportunity to live with Swami and be with Him, we, you know, there is one strange feeling, or I would say it's just an experience of devotees, that if you have Swami in your life, like if you are in touch with Swami and if you have Swami in your life, you have to give your entire life to Him. And if you open up your life to Swami, He is going to get into your life to the last detail. And then He will guide you at every step. But you should accept Him and you should accept what He says, whether it is liked by you or not liked by you. Correct?
Right.
So the moment you accept Swami and the moment you say that, yes, you are a part of my life, I accept you, you have to accept Him completely. So that's what Swami would say, part-time devotion, part-time bhakti, you cannot have that. And that is so similar with the Atma as well. Like he says, when we go through these concepts, he says, if you are devoted to the Atma and if you are constantly contemplating on that, there cannot be even 1 second when you are away from it. You have to accept it completely. So just as you have to accept Swami completely in the physical realm and when Swami was here, and then because there are so many families for which to whom Swami has, you know, given the smallest advice, and people are there who won't do anything without Swami's advice. Similarly, in a spiritual life, everything has to be passed through the Atman. I think that's a point which...
There's another interesting point that Swami is probably bringing up by this example.
Okay.
In which he's saying that everything is in you.
Right.
So whether it is good, bad, happiness, sadness, you know, any kind of thing,
like
that
every emotion is within you. That's
everything within you. And this is, you know, very interesting that Swami used to say, when you point fingers, just see that there are the other three fingers pointing back at you.
Mm-hmm.
And many a times we look at the world outside trying to look around us, why are these people causing this to me?
Mm-hmm.
But generally it's just the mind of ours that is causing the same things that we are looking outside, you know. And he brings it out very well by, you know, saying that, you know, when you have to, it's the Arjuna Drona example and the water digging example also. And probably he again anchors it to freedom by saying that it's not going to be the mind, it's going to be the heart. And something very beautifully put by Swami right at the beginning of the discourse, where he says the real heart has no connection with any particular place, time, individual, country.
Correct.
It's a divine principle which is present in all persons, at all times, in all places, in all countries, and the heart has no form. So kind of he takes you to a blank space, into a meditative silence, and just reaches you to a point where you kind of feel the freedom that he's talking about. So at one end, he's taking you through an example where he's showing the example of a guru sishya and the sishya trying to get all the attributes and then telling that everything exists in you. than an example of boring in and trying to get water, you know, probably something that's already in you. And then also saying that in the process, if you see all the turmoil that you see is actually in your mind that's happening. So beautifully through.
I think that is something which is very difficult to accept when you first are introduced to that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you have a certain dislike for some quality, mm-hmm. or let us say that we don't like corruption, or we don't like somebody being dishonest.
Correct.
Somebody comes and tells you that actually it is because it's in you. It's so difficult an idea to get over. I remember in a Thrayi session, Swami made this point. He said, when you look at another person and mm-hmm. say that, you know, that person has this quality which I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, you take my word for it.
Mm-hmm.
Within a few days, you yourself will recognize that quality in you.
Okay.
You will see mm-hmm. that quality, you know, showing up.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said, also take my word that the more you look at another person and say that this quality, this ideal quality I like,
mm-hmm.
you will see that quality appearing in you.
Beautiful.
I remember one Thrayi session in which Swami actually spoke about the Pandavas and the Kauravas, and he gave an example of Yudhishthira and Duryodhana. And Swami said both were sent to find, Yudhishthira was sent to find a bad person, and he could not find anyone in the entire kingdom, because what you see, unless and until, like Mahatma Gandhi said, you know, unless and until you have it in you, you would not be able to identify it in someone else. And similarily, when Duryodhana went, he couldn't find anybody righteous, you know, he could find only people.
He felt he was the only righteous one.
Yeah. So that was an amazing
example. You know, talking about Hridayam, Swami and freedom, and just a thought has come to my mind. You know, we have come to understand a little bit of the state in which Swami lived amongst us in that physical frame. And I would say that is one of perfect love. All the time, 100% spontaneous love. And when Swami says, only in that state of Hridayam, and he says that is the all-pervasive love, and that is the state of Hridayam, Atma, he says all are one. You know, just this thought comes to me. Yes, Swami was 100% having that freedom, because if he wanted to materialize something, he could just do it. If he wanted to do anything, he was the one who had 100% freedom. He was in that constant state of freedom, because every desire or every, an urge for action was based on truth, based on love. His action itself was based on love. If he wanted to give, you know, that is based on 100% love. So he had the freedom. If he wanted to materialize something, it would just happen. The five elements would come together and he would be able to do it. He was the one who lived with 100% freedom.
And taking it from where you said, he actually gave that freedom to everyone.
Correct.
Because just in his mere presence, we felt the freedom.
Correct.
I mean, we would come with, probably there were devotees sitting in the lines who had physical ailments, who had troubles in the families. And here they would come in the presence of somebody who is God, who is residing in that, having control over all the five elements. And by mere darshan, just the act of looking at God, everything would just melt away into the happiness and bliss, the raptures of ecstasy that we used to.
Very
see.
True. I hope nobody tried materializing when they were yeah, but just extending the logic a little bit further, I would really think that that's why we hear that many sages and saints were also able to materialize things, because the moment they touch base with that state of absolute freedom, automatically things happen, because their every action is a spontaneous action based on love.
But so, you know, having said that, Swami mm-hmm. enjoyed complete freedom.
Mm.
Innumerable are the times when Swami would come and say, "Hum kya kar sakta hai?" And actually he meant it. You know, when he would say that your time is not good, or he would say that, no, it is not right. You know, those are the times when you say that, Swami, you can do anything. You know, I am bound by time and space, but you are not.
Yeah.
You should be able to do it. But you know, that's the beauty. Like, I was just thinking of it. Like, today, we are all wearing whites.
Mm.
It is a conscious choice which you've made.
Correct.
Not once do we feel that I don't have the freedom to wear anything else. We don't feel like that because I have made this choice for myself. So we see that this is the freedom which I have taken to wear whites.
Correct.
So similarly, Swami never saw that, you know, those restrictions of time, the restrictions of, no, this is not good for you, this is not good for you.
Also,
Swami never saw it as a restriction because it was a choice that he has made because the system was made by him.
Very true. And also, pointing back to Swami's physical frame, the restrictions that he imposed on himself.
Right.
But it never came out as restrictions. He was in a state of complete freedom, although his room was so small, and he lived in such a small room for so many years. And then he had so many restrictions, he could not come out and even take a walk. I mean, if Swami came out to have a walk, so he would walk inside his room. This is what Swami himself has told. He says, if I put on the light, devotees will think, oh, Swami's got up, Swami's got up. He says, I never slept, but I never put on the light. So he self-imposed so many restrictions, quote-unquote restrictions, on his physical frame, but he was in the complete state of freedom all the time. that's all we can discuss. Then he goes on to this beautiful, expansion of this freedom. And he says, sambandham, nirbandham and kartavyam. And what lovely examples.
Right. You know, that's the beauty. The first example that Swami gives, Swami is actually talking about freedom. Swami is saying that he has the freedom to cancel or schedule a party. But you know, having said that, that's why Swami is calling it a relationship. Sambandham in essence means a relationship. Like suppose you have a relationship of friendship. The same amount of freedom that you take with that person, you are supposed to give to that person. So if you look at it from the point of view of the guests who were invited, they did not have the freedom of choice.
Correct. They could not have forced it on him saying that,
right,
come what may,
we don't care you're sick or otherwise, we have to have the party because you promised us. So a relationship of friendship is actually a quasi-freedom. You think that you have freedom choice, but you are even bound by the other person's choices.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah. And actually, he's so on the mark. I mean, he doesn't allow a iota of doubt to come in. He just pinpoints, you know, when he quotes Professor Sampath saying that, a student, you know, just asking and should have the freedom of asking a question. It's that, at that instant, Swami just catches. And previously also the stick example which Swami gives, you know, it's just turning. He doesn't want this word to be loosely used.
Exactly.
Because he, in the entire connection of the discourse, he really is wants us to get the meaning of the term freedom. And then he starts elucidating it by these three terms like sambandham, nirbandham and kartavyam.
You know, there was a very beautiful clip I saw taken by one of the students when Swami was in Kodaikanal. And it's not a very pleasant thing to say what Swami actually told in the clip.
Okay.
But in a sense, it is the truth. And Swami, as he is Satya Sai Baba and he speaks the truth all the time. But it was just a casual moment. And Swami standing, and this boy was kind of sitting right below Swami. So he's the image was all looming in the shot. But and Swami is just there is that famous railing between the gents and ladies side in Sai Shruti. So Swami is having his hands on, for people who have seen photographs of Sai Shruti, they'll understand. He's just leaning on the railing and he's saying, "Kitna dukh deta hai, boys. Kitna dukh deta hai." And you could see the pin drop silence. And then Swami is saying, Swami is always giving, 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 love, love, love. But boys are always taking, taking and giving me only dukh. Giving me only kitna dukh, sadness. Giving me only. So he was actually telling it in Hindi, full thing. But then after that, he made a statement which was absolutely earth-shattering. And Swami said, "Chapati, malum hai tumko? Chapati?" Then somebody said, "Yes, Swami." "Kaisa karta hai chapati? Aisa, aisa, aisa." He said, you flip the chapati this way, that way to just cook it. He says, "If I want, I can turn the whole world upside down." He said, "Agar ఇఫ్ ఐ వాంట్. సారా దునియాకు ఐసా ఐసా కర్ సక్తా హై. సో ఇన్ స్వీట్ హిందీ స్వామి వాజ్ యాక్చువల్లీ టెలింగ్ దట్. బట్ దెన్ హీ మేడ్ ద నెక్స్ట్ స్టేట్మెంట్ విచ్ ఇస్ ఆల్ ద మోర్. హీ సెడ్ బట్ దట్ ఈస్ నాట్ మై. దేర్ వాజ్ అ పాజ్. నేచర్. So beautiful. It is such a casual moment. Swami is standing there. He says, that is not my nature. So in this particular clip, you know, he has the freedom. He is constantly in that state of freedom to do anything at any time. But he says, that is not my nature.
In fact, that's a lovely example, actually showing that, you know, Swami demonstrating what freedom actually is.
Correct.
You know, generally we have the false misconception that freedom means being able to do everything. And I think all through, even during the discourse, Swami is just trying to say that if you're coming from that point, it's the freedom that you have at the level of the mind,
right.
Where you're still trying to, there is pain, happiness, pleasure. And, you know, the beauty about Swami is, like Prem also said previously, you know, he lets it happen to himself also.
Correct.
And lets it happen to us also. Like, a perfect Zen master allowing us to go through the entire experience so that we can just, blossom into what he wants us to be.
Again, as we mentioned earlier, in Gita, Krishna says, నమే పాత్రాస్తి కర్తవ్యం త్రిషు లోకేషు కించన నాన వాప్తం అవాప్తవ్యం వర్తయే వచ్చ కర్మణి. హీ సేస్ ఐఎమ్ నాట్ బౌండ్ బై ఎనీ యాక్షన్ ఆర్ డ్యూటీ ఇన్ ఆల్ ద త్రీ వర్ల్డ్స్ యెట్ ఐ చూస్ టు యాక్ట్ యెట్ ఐ చూస్ టు యాక్ట్ టు సెట్ అన్ ఎగ్జాంపుల్ అండ్ దేర్ ఇస్ అనదర్ డిస్కోర్స్ ఇన్ విచ్ దేర్ ఇస్ అ క్లిప్ వేర్ వెరీ బ్యూటిఫుల్లీ స్వామి సేస్ ఐ వాంట్ నథింగ్ I don't want anything. I need. In fact, this discourse was given in Samskrita Sadhanam in Bangalore.
Okay.
When Swami had gone to inaugurate it, and he says, avatars, when they come, they don't need anything from anybody. But he pretends to have desires to give an opportunity to you to be able to do service, to be able to express that love.
Even as you were saying that, Swami said, kitna dukh deta hai, and this one. I'm reminded of how many times in a discourse Swami had said, give me something which I don't have. And Swami would say, give me your worries, because I have no worries. You know, in that sense, Swami is telling, give me your dukh. because
he says, I don't know. Right? How worry is, what is worry?
Because essentially, if you look at it, some of the psychiatrists say this, that those who are in a state of depression, those who are gone within themselves because of depression or because of worry, they don't want to give their worry away.
Oh, they clutch on to it.
Right,
they hold
there
on.
Is a sense of relish in that feeling bad for themselves and self-sympathy. And that is what Swami said, give me your worries. And I think somewhere deep within we all had the fear that our worries would go away and we'll become normal like others.
Exactly. I mean, it's a very profound thought that you shared, Prem. What would I be without my worry?
Right.
Would I still continue to be this Vyomesh Thakkar that people talk about, or would I just not exist with all the worries that I have,
That's what worry and fear, we say, that's what the moment you are able to give out that fear factor, that's very important. And that's what, it's all interconnected, and how every action that Swami did showed that spontaneous love.
Right.
Because it's all coming from the source. I think we should just go to the next clip and see how Swami is taking this theme further.
Yeah, sure.
ఈనాడు సంబంధము పోయింది. టుడే ద రిలేషన్షిప్ ఈజ్ లాస్ట్. నిర్బంధము పోయింది. ద రెస్ట్రిక్షన్స్ అండ్ రూల్స్ ఆర్ ఆల్సో ఈ కర్తవ్యం అంతకంటే కనిపించడం లేదు. అండ్ డ్యూటీ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఎగ్జిస్టింగ్ ఈవెన్ ఫర్ శాంపుల్. ఇదే ధర్మనాశనము, ఇదే ధర్మజ్ఞాని అన్నారు. దిస్ ఈజ్ ది డిక్లైన్ ఆఫ్ ధర్మ. అండ్ వారితో పోట్లాడినటువంటి వ్యక్తి డ్రాయింగ్ రూమ్ లో ఉంటే ఫ్రెండ్ వచ్చి గెట్ అవుట్ అని అంటే వాడు ఏమిటో ఈ ఫ్రెండ్ పిచ్చి పెట్టింది అనుకుంటాడు. Just because a person has quarreled with his wife, samayas purtiga mana yokka bhavamulu kani mana yokka charyalu kani marchukuneetundi vidhaname sambandham. The real type of relationship is that he should know the demands of the time and circumstance and adjust himself and behave properly. That ee vidhamainatundi charyallo manam teeskunte nirbandhamu sambandhamu kartavyamu ee moodinti endukonu manavulu swatantram ledu.
If you correctly understand, in all these three states of restriction,
సామాజికమ యొక్క స్థితిగతులను పురస్కరించుకొని మన ప్రవర్తనను మనం మార్చుకుంటున్నాం.
We adjust our own behavior depending upon the compulsions of circumstances.
కనుక మనకు నిజమైన స్వాతంత్రం ఏంటంటే ఆత్మస్థాయి స్వాతంత్రం.
Our real freedom,
నీవు ఆత్మభావాన్ని లక్ష్యమునందుంచుకొని నువ్వు ఏ కార్యమైనా చేయి, నీవు తప్పక స్వాతంత్రంగా ఉంటుంటావు.
వాట్ ఎవర్ వర్క్ యు వాంట్ టు డూ యు కెన్ డూ ఇట్ ప్రొవైడెడ్ యూ కీప్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇన్ ది
ఇండివిజువల్ ఫ్రీడమ్ అని కానీ స్పిరిచువల్ అనేటువంటిది కానీ రెండు వేరువేరుగా లేవు.
స్పిరిచువాలిటీ అండ్ ఇండివిజువల్ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఆర్ నాట్ సెపరేట్ ఫ్రమ్ ఈ.
ఆధ్యాత్మికమే స్వాతంత్రము, స్వాతంత్రమే ఆధ్యాత్మికం.
స్పిరిచువాలిటీ ఇస్ ఫ్రీడమ్, ఫ్రీడమ్ ఇస్ స్పిరిచువాలిటీ.
ఇవి రెండు వేరుగా ఉండడానికి వీలు కాదు.
ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ పాసిబుల్ టు కీప్ దెమ్ సెపరేట్.
ఇది ఎట్లా ఉంటుండదనగా ఒకే పదార్థం యొక్క అనేక భిన్న స్వరూపాన్ని ధరించింది.
ఇట్ ఈస్ లైక్ ద సేమ్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ టేకింగ్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫార్మ్స్.
పాలు ఉన్నాయి,
దేర్ ఇస్ మిల్క్.
పాలు పెరుగు చేసుకున్నాము,
యు కర్డ్ ఇట్.
పెరుగును చిలికినాము,
యు చర్న్డ్ ఇట్.
వెన్న వచ్చింది,
యు గాట్ బట్టర్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్
మజ్జిగ నిలిచింది,
దేర్ ఈస్ బటర్ మిల్క్.
పాలుగా ఉండినటువంటిది పెరుగుగా కావటము, వెన్నగా కావటము, మజ్జిగగా కావటం ఇన్ని రూపాలు చెందింది.
ద మిల్క్ హ్యాస్ గాట్ ఇట్సెల్ఫ్ ట్రాన్స్ఫార్మ్డ్ ఇంటూ బటర్ మిల్క్, బట్టర్, కర్డ్స్.
అయితే ఇన్ని రూపముల్లో ఉండేటువంటిది పాలు ఒక్కటే.
బట్ ఆల్ దీస్ ఫార్మ్స్ ఆర్ డిఫరెంట్ బట్ మిల్క్ ఇస్ ద సేమ్.
అదే విధంగానే
ఇన్ సేమ్ వే
సారూప్యం, సారూప్యం, సామీప్యం, సాయుధ్యం, ఈ నాలుగు కూడాను భిన్న భిన్నమైనటువంటి యొక్క రూపనామం ధరించింది కానీ నాలుగు చేరి ఒక్కటే.
ఇన్ ద సేమ్ వే సాలోక్యం, సారూప్యం, సామీప్యం, సాయుధ్యం, దీస్ ఆర్ ఫోర్ బట్ ఫోర్ నేమ్స్.
ఒకదానికి స్టెప్స్, ఒక సోపానములు.
బట్ దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ ఫోర్ స్టెప్స్.
సాలోక్యం,
సాలోక్యం,
ఈ లోకం అది సాలోక్యం. భగవత్ చింతన చేస్తున్నాం, భగవత్ లోకం.
లివింగ్ ఇన్ ద వరల్డ్ ఆఫ్ భగవాన్, థింకింగ్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్.
భగవంతుని చింత చేస్తూ 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 ఏమైపోతుంది? సామీప్యం. స్వామిని చింత చేస్తూ స్వామికి దగ్గరగా పోవాలి అని ఒక ఆశ పడుతుంది.
యాజ్ యు కాన్స్టెంట్లీ థింక్ ఆఫ్ స్వామి, యు ఫీల్ లైక్ గోయింగ్ క్లోజర్ టు స్వామి, నియర్ టు స్వామి.
సామీప్యం పోయిన తర్వాత స్వామితో ఐక్యం కావాలి అని ఒక సారూప్యాన్ని పొందిపోతుంది, స్వామి వలె ఉండాలి అని ఆశిస్తాం.
ఆఫ్టర్ దిస్ సామీప్యం ఆర్ గోయింగ్ క్లోజర్, యు ఫీల్ లైక్ గెటింగ్ స్వామిస్ ఫార్మ్.
ఈ సారూప్యం పొందాలని ఆశించిన తర్వాత సాయుధ్యం కావాలని ఆశిస్తాం.
Once you want to get the feeling that you would like to have the same form of
ivanni kudanu okadani yokka binna swaroopam le kaani veru veru kaadu.
All these things are different forms of the same thing.
Kanuka manavulaku ee bhautika jagattunandu swatantram unnadante idi kevalamu veri swatantram ane cheppochu, ahankara swatantram ane cheppochu, అభిమాన స్వాతంత్రం అని చెప్పచ్చు.
ద టైప్ ఆఫ్ వరల్డ్లీ ఫ్రీడమ్ దట్ వన్ ఎంజాయ్స్ ఇస్ ద ఫ్రీడమ్ ఆఫ్ ద ఈగో, ఫ్రీడమ్ ఆఫ్ సమ్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ క్రేజ్, మ్యాడ్నెస్, ఫ్రీడమ్ ఆఫ్
నా బిడ్డ పైన నాకు స్వాతంత్రం ఉంటుండాలి, నేను కొట్టవచ్చు, తిట్టవచ్చు.
వెన్ యు సే దట్ దీస్ ఆర్ మై చిల్డ్రన్, యు హావ్ గాట్ ద రైట్ టు బీట్.
నా భార్య పైన నాకు స్వాతంత్రం ఉంది, ఆమెను కొట్టవచ్చు, తిట్టవచ్చు.
యు మే హావ్ యువర్ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఆన్ యువర్ వైఫ్ అండ్ దేర్ ఫోర్ యు మే జస్ట్ చైడ్ హర్ ఆర్ యు మే ఈవెన్ బీట్ హర్.
ఇది కేవలం నీ భ్రాంతియే కానీ నీకు అధికారం లేదు.
ట్రూలీ స్పీకింగ్ దిస్ ఓన్లీ యువర్ ఓన్ డెల్యూజన్, యూ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఆన్ దెమ్.
మంచిని చెప్పవచ్చును, మంచిని బోధించవచ్చు.
యూ కెన్ టెల్ సంథింగ్ గుడ్ అండ్ టీచ్ ఆల్సో సంథింగ్ గుడ్.
కొట్టడము తిట్టడము నా స్వాతంత్రం అనుకోవటము ఇది కేవలము తెలివి తక్కువ పని.
చైడింగ్ అండ్ బీటింగ్ ఆర్ నాట్ ఫ్రీడమ్.
నిజముగా మానవుడిగా ఉండినటువంటి వాడు మానవునిగా బ్రతకాలనుకుంటుంటే ఈ విధమైనటువంటి యొక్క అహంకార చర్యలు మానినప్పుడే మానవుడు మానవుడిగా ఉద్ధరిస్తాడు.
ఇఫ్ మ్యాన్ వాంట్స్ టు లివ్ యాజ్ ఎ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్, హిస్ బిహేవియర్ మస్ట్ బి హ్యూమన్ అండ్ షుడ్ నాట్ బి దిస్ కైండ్.
నిజముగా నాకు స్వాతంత్రం ఉందని అనుకుంటే నీ ఇష్టమును నీకెంత స్వాతంత్రమో ఆమె ఇష్టమును కూడా ఆమెకంత స్వాతంత్రం కదా.
Truly speaking, if you say that you have freedom to do anything, she has also freedom to do.
బయట వారి స్వాతంత్రం అణగదొక్కి తన స్వాతంత్రం పెంచుకోవాలనుకోవటం ఇది స్వార్థం కాదా?
Is it not selfishness to try to suppress one's
స్వాతంత్రం అనుకుంటే ఏమిటి? బయట వారి స్వాతంత్రం అడ్డు తగ్గినటువంటి మన యొక్క స్వాతంత్రం.
Real freedom is not to suppress someone else's freedom.
కనుక ఇట్టి స్వాతంత్రము లోకంలో ఎట్టి మానవులకు కనిపించదు.
That kind of real freedom is not obtained with reference to any man.
ఎవరైనా గలాట చేస్తుంటే పోలీసు వాడు వచ్చి పట్టేసేస్తాడు, కొడతాడు.
If there is some fight going on, police people may
ఇది నాకు అధికారం ఉంది, ఇది నా స్వాతంత్రం అంటాడు.
He says that I have freedom, therefore I am doing it.
కానీ అతనికి అధికారం కాదది.
He doesn't have that power or authority.
తప్పప్పుడు నిర్ణయించడమే అతనికి అధికారం.
He has the right to decide.
అది కూడాను అతని అధికారం కాదు.
Even that he doesn't have.
ప్రభుత్వం యొక్క నిబంధనలు పురస్కరించుకుని తాను చరిస్తున్నాడు.
He is conducting himself as
ఈ విధంగా ఒకదానికొకటి పై పైన ఉంటుంటే చేతనే ఎవ్వనికి స్వాతంత్రం లేదు.
As people from lower ranks to the highest rank, people are behaving like this, therefore no one.
అందరికంటే ఉన్నత స్థాయి ఎందున్నటువంటి వాడిది నిజమైన స్వాతంత్రము.
The one who occupies the highest state.
అయితే అతనికి మరి రెండవది అనేటువంటిది లేదు కనుక అక్కడ కూడా స్వాతంత్రం అనేది లేదు.
As there is no second entity at all, he also does not have freedom.
కనుక ఈ విధంగా మనం రెండు విధములుగా విచారించినప్పుడు లోకంలో ఎవరికి కూడా స్వాతంత్రం లేదు.
If you think on these proper lines, truly speaking,
నిత్య జీవితంలో ఇండివిజువల్ ఫ్రీడమ్, ఫండమెంటల్ లా అని రెండింటిని మనం అనుసరిస్తున్నాం.
బట్ వీఆర్ ఫాలోయింగ్ ఇండివిజువల్ ఫ్రీడమ్ అండ్ ఫండమెంటల్ లా.
ఇది జీవనోపాధి నిమిత్తమై ఆచరించేటువంటి చర్యలు.
దీస్ ఆర్ ఫర్ అర్నింగ్ వన్స్ లైవ్లీహుడ్.
ఇవి ఉండవలసింది.
దేర్ ఇస్ నీడ్ ఫర్ దీస్ టూ.
ఇవి కాదని ఎవరు కూడా విసర్జించడానికి వీలు కాదు.
నో వన్ కెన్ గివ్ అప్ దీస్ టూ.
రోడ్డు ట్రాఫిక్ ను అనుసరించుకుని మనం ప్రయాణం చేయాలి.
అబ్జర్వింగ్ ది రోడ్ ట్రాఫిక్ రూల్స్.
సంజయ్ సహాన్ చెప్పాడు, ఒక లేడీ, మేము మిడిల్ రోడ్ లోపల నడుస్తున్నాను, ఇది నా స్వాతంత్రం అనింది.
వన్ పర్సన్ వాస్ moving in the middle of the road, Sanjay Sahni said, and that person said that person had freedom.
Kani adi swatantram kaadu.
That is not freedom.
Government nirnayaliki viruddham jariginattu avutundi.
It is violating the rules of government.
Aa viruddhanga jariginappudu government aina punishment istundi, ee lari aina kotti punishment chestundi.
Otherwise, if one behaves like that, either the government gives punishment or other people themselves.
Kanuka dani tatpalitanni manam anubhavinchavalsi vastundi.
Essentially, one has to suffer.
ఇక్కడ కర్తృత్వము భోక్తృత్వము అనేటువంటి స్వాతంత్రం లోపల దాని ఫలితాన్ని కూడా మనం అనుభవించవలసి వస్తుంది.
If one accepts doership and enjoyership, one has to suffer also the consequences of one's own actions.
Jam-packed clip. I don't know what to say.
But I think that last point which Swami made was very, very profound.
Yes.
Where he said, you might have the freedom to do what you want to do, but do you have the freedom to escape the consequence of that action? And you cannot do that, you cannot escape the consequence of the action so far as there's, you know, the sense of doership and the sense of enjoyership.
When you accept the doership, right, and when you think you are the doer, you have to face the consequence.
You have to face the consequences.
That you, which thinks that I am the doer, that same you will face the consequence.
Right.
But
right.
The clip he started, I felt was a very, very powerful point. He said, dharma glani. So, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bhavarata. And the reason why all avatars come, when we talk of this decline of dharma, here he says it is because people have not followed this sambandham, nirbandham and kartavyam. And how true it is. So, he says, there is a context. There is a right time and there is a place and context where things have to be done. And he says the moment these three are, broken because of your own selfishness, because of your own this thing, and you think you have the freedom to break them, that is the decline of dharma. I mean, it is just too much. Because this sambandham, nirbandham and kartavyam, he says the moment you think that you have the freedom to break them, and you do things which are contradictory to what is expected by these three dictates, you know, then he says that is dharma gland, that is the downfall of dharma.
Whenever I read some of these epics, suppose Ramayana or Mahabharata or something, or even if you read commentaries about them, at some point they will have this description of how the day is filled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they get up early in the morning, that morning ablutions, and then how you do.
Correct.
Your day is actually filled with innumerable duties which you do.
Mm.
You know, if you're an Agnihotri, the duties which you have, and the Sandhya and the other duties, one would think that, you know, it's such a constricted life, there is no space for any other thing.
Mm.
But I think the essence was, the people of that era, or where Swami would say that dharma was more predominant, or more robust in that era, they never associated freedom with the idea of having a free day.
Correct.
They never associated freedom with having some free time. That is why there was no hesitation or problem in following this kartavyam, nirbandham and sambandham, as Swami would say.
No, also I would think that every activity that they laid out for themselves was trying to constantly keep the mind focused on the Atma. Like the moment you do an activity, and see, finally ancient man also was born, he lived his complete life and he died. Maybe they lived longer lives than what we do today. And we are doing the same thing. The basic necessity of man is to be able to get food when he wants to eat, to be able to sleep when he wants to sleep. Beyond that, I don't see. The requirement that man has been the same over centuries. The only thing is they chose to do it in a different way, we chose to do it in a different way. But the basic requirement and activity is same. And what I'm trying to say is, the way they chose their activities was more attuned with nature. It was more attuned with a spiritual way of life, and which constantly kept reminding them of their true nature.
This is another important point which previously Swami stated, that man is torn apart between two things, the laws of nature and man-made regulation, which he said earlier.
Correct.
And now he just says, now you're stuck up in the rut of sambandham, nirbandham and kartavyam. And if you try to fight what this reality is, you know, and you're trying to break it, then it's dharma glani, like you start creating all the problems. And then probably we are moving towards something that we want, the kind of freedom that we are looking out for is not actually probably in the mind. That's again coming as an anchor, that, you know, Swami says again, the freedom is at the level of self, you know, and then he goes into giving examples of, you know, what is that, by giving examples of Salokyam, Sarupyam,
Samipyam, Sarupyam
and Sayujyam.
No, the thing, the whole point is, he says, the last line that he says, even when you reach that level of identifying yourself with the creator or the one who has made this entire universe, there is no two. So where is the freedom?
Exactly.
So if you have to talk of freedom, it is either freedom from something or freedom of yourself, or, you know, it is a relative term. I think that's what comes out very strongly at the end of this thing, that freedom is relative. I am more free than you to do something, or I can do something which you can't.
It's just the concept of
it's
the
mind. It's a concept of the mind. And I think at the end Swami comes out and says, even at that ultimate state of realization, you realize that there is only one.
In that sense, freedom is the state where you have the freedom from the desire for freedom.
No, but before, you know, this whole thing about samayam, sandarbham, that Swami has told about these three, sambandham, nirbandham and kartavyam, it's so beautifully, you know, we see so many examples in Swami's life where, you know, if, for example, person holding a high official rank is coming to have Swami's darshan, he would give all the respects that is due for such a person. So, you know, although he's not bound to do anything, but he respects that in the worldly sense, he gives it importance. And that's why Tyagaraja also says, samayaniki tagu matalu. So he says, at the right time, he would speak the right thing. And what is required to be spoken at that time? How much? How far? And what should be given? I mean, so many lessons to learn when Swami says, my life is my message.
You know, when Swami speaks about kartavyam and the duty which you have towards your family, towards your society, in a discourse, Swami says that, you know, a child has to listen to the father. The wife has to listen to the husband. The husband has to concede to the wishes of the wife.
Mm.
And there are relations like this.
Mm.
The only condition in which all these can be transgressed, can be broken, is when God comes in between.
Correct.
And Swami gives the example. The example for a son disobeying the father and being right is Prahlada.
Mm.
The example for the wife disobeying the wishes of the husband and still being right is Meera.
Correct.
And so many examples Swami gives. And the point which Swami says here, Swami says that, you know, you are somebody, you have a superior, that superior has a superior.
Mm.
And we think that if I can beat my children, if I can behave the way I want with those under me, that is a sense of freedom. In a sense, saying that you cannot have freedom by taking the freedom of others.
Somebody else.
Mm. And the other thing which Swami is saying is, you know, you have one choice. You cannot you cannot come out of this superiority and junior, you know, the whole prioritization cycle which you've got into because by virtue of the you living the society. But Swami is saying you can do one thing. You can only turn to the lordship of the God. You can actually give up all this. You're kind of extricating yourself from this Kartavyam cycle.
That's exactly the point. See, the thing is, when Prahlada disobeyed his father, he was in a state of realization where he saw the oneness in everything. Because he was in that state of realization, what he did was right. For a person in a worldly state of existence who is still bound by his mind, who is still ruled by this thing, what he did was not right. But the only time you can go beyond and this understanding, the moment he is in that consciousness of oneness, that's where he saw God everywhere. So it was just his heart, his action was spontaneous. So love without duty is divine. So that is where love, his actions were based on pure love. Because he was in total identification with the Lord. And so was Meera. She was not bothered. She was in that state. So from her point of view, what she did was perfect.
Right, from her point of view, the point I'm trying to drive is, like suppose in that moment when Karna was killed in the war, Krishna says that this is the only time we will be able to kill Karna.
Karna, correct.
He says because he is trying to lift the chariot and he has put his bow and arrow aside. Krishna says this is the only time you can kill him, kill him. And Arjuna says that this is not right. You know, we've taken a vow that we will fight this battle in the dharmic way. This is not right. So then Krishna tells him, you have a choice between two things. Either you kill him as you are obeying me, or you kill him as an unrighteous warrior.
Oh, correct.
So you have only that choice.
Exactly.
And you are arguing from the point of being an unrighteous warrior. I am telling, obey me as a devotee.
Correct.
So when you bring that Lord in between and say, I am going to bow down only to the Lord. Yes, I am in a family, I have all these things, but my final obedience is to the Lord. Then your only duty is to obey the Lord. You do everything else as obedience to the Lord.
Exactly. So in that constant state of oneness with the Lord, when you are constantly tuned with the Lord, every action you do is right. There is nothing that you can do which is wrong. Because in a way it is beyond good and bad, right and wrong. But everything is correct. Because you do it as a spontaneous expression of love. So I think from freedom we have gone on a little bit. We took the freedom and liberty of going around a little bit. But I think next time we should start with the discussion of these four. Salokyam, Samipyam, Sarupyam,
right,
and Sarajyam.
That's a very important point, and I think a little bit of reading about it, of what Swami says in other discourses also will help.
Sure. So I think this thing about freedom and this topic, I see there's another one page in this discourse. Oh, there are two sides of this, and I'm you know really wondering what more is there in this topic of freedom, but for that, we'll have to wait for the next week, I think.
Right. So, thank you, Vyomesh, for joining us.
The pleasure was mine.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us, too. And we will continue this discourse, as Saiprakash said, next week. You'll have to wait till next Thursday, 7:30 p.m. We'll join you. Please be there. Please tune in. We're going to leave you with Bishu. He's going to be here for the last segment, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. We thank you for the company. We thank Swami for this opportunity, and we, with gratitude, offer this effort of ours at Swami's lotus feet. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.